the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. My friends, faith, yes, faith is a divine work of God. Faith, it changes you and it makes you Christians. This faith, it actually kills that old Adam, that sinful nature, and it makes us completely different people. Faith, it changes our hearts and our souls and our minds. It brings with it the Holy Spirit. This is the way that it is with faith. Faith is not dead, it is not lethargic, it is not inactive, but it is living and it is busy and it is active. Faith is a living confidence in God's grace. So sure, yes, so sure and certain that it makes us glad and bold and happy in our relationship to God and our everyday vocations with one another. Today, we see this faith on display in our two lepers and the Roman centurion from our Old Testament reading and our New Testament reading. Yes, we see this faith on display and in action in the two lepers and the Roman centurion. Now, the first leper that we heard about from the Old Testament reading was named Naaman. He was the commander of the Syria's army. And through a series of events, Naaman's servant girl had meekly suggested to him to go and see God's prophet, Elijah, because this prophet would know how to cure his leprosy. So, long story short, Naaman went and presented himself before God's spokesman without even seeing him face to face. And as a result, Elijah sent the commander to wash in the Jordan River. And after some convincing by his servants, Naaman washed in the river and was completely cured of his leprosy. In our gospel reading from today, we hear of a second leper. This leper, who lived some 850 years later, was the same as Naaman. Bits and pieces of his body were about to fall off or already had fallen off from leprosy. He probably stunk like death, because the rot of the grave had already begun in his body because of leprosy. The only difference is this leper had no prophet to go to. There had not been a prophet in Israel for some 400 years at that time. Now, all of this changed, though, when this leper heard of the miracles that Jesus had begun to perform in the land at that time. So when he heard that Jesus was in the area, he limped his way to see the Lord, leaving a trail of skin and stench behind him. Now, compared to Naaman, this leper had more faith. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean," he said, this leper. Then reaching out his hand, Jesus touched the leper, and he said to him, "I am willing, be clean." St. Matthew tells us that immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy, he was cured. Now, we cannot stop here today, but we must move on also to hear about the faith of the commander of another army. This commander was a Roman centurion. Briefly, this Roman centurion's beloved servant was on his deathbed, too paralyzed to be moved, too paralyzed with pain to be brought to Jesus. So this worried Roman centurion goes to beg Jesus for a miracle, to which our Lord Jesus agrees and begins to make his way to the centurion's house. Now keep in mind, my friends, that this Roman centurion is a leader. In fact, he is the one in charge at that time. He could have had Jesus dragged to his house and commanded him and forced him to do a miracle. But this man of power, he was most importantly a man of faith. He was a man of humility. He knew who he was compared to Christ. Therefore, the Roman centurion confesses that he is not worthy to have Jesus under his roof. In fact, he says it is not even necessary for Jesus to come to his house. If only Jesus would just say a simple word, then his servant would be cleansed and healed that day. Jesus is astonished at the Roman centurion's faith. "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And at that same hour, the servant was healed. Now, considering these three individuals, what cured Naaman, and what cured the leper, and what cured the Roman centurion's servant? My friends, the answer is this. They all had faith. Yes, all three had faith. And all three were given miracles, even though they had faith to different degrees. You see, Naaman's faith was a bit begrudging, while the other leper's faith was slightly more forthright. But neither the lepers could compare to the great faith that we see on display in this Roman centurion. Even Jesus said that this Roman centurion had faith unlike anything he had ever seen, even among God's own people in Israel. Indeed, they all had faith, even though they had faith in different degrees. So you may be saying to yourself, well, what does this mean? What does this mean then, this example of this faith that we see in these three individuals? What can we glean from this? Does this mean that if we want to receive good things and blessings from God, that we need to try and quantify our faith? In other words, should we try to keep track of just how much faith that we have, and then we rank that faith on a scale from 1 to 10, and then we try to cash in that faith when we are ranked at an 8 or a 9 or maybe a 10? Is this how it works? The higher our faith, the more we somehow deserve God's blessings? If this is the case, does this mean that we are in a competition with each other to have the most faith, or the highest faith, or the most refined faith, that faith ranked out of 10, certified? Sadly, my friends, some churches in America teach this, and too many Christians believe this convoluted way of thinking. The reason why? Well, we often think incorrectly about faith, as if faith is some object that we create and that we can personally manage in of ourselves. That is to say, we view faith as if it is something that we can manipulate by our own willpower. If we do not view faith this way, well, we can then see it as something to be wrestled away from God. If we're successful in wrestling this faith away from God, we then take it and we lovingly polish it up and we piously hold it all up for everyone else to see. Look and behold the faith that I have. Tragically, whenever we go these ways, we begin to make faith itself into an object of our very own devotion. In other words, we keep people away from us that might damage this precious faith that we have conjured up, that we possess, that we hold on to. We keep them away, and then we begin to compare others to the faith that we have. We hold our faith as a grand example of how pious and how good and how faithful we are. I lament saying this, but it is true. Too many Christians are entrapped in this way of thinking. They spend all of their time and energy concerned about the quantity of their faith in their lives to the point that they forget that salvation is not about having faith in our faith. Dear friends, please do not miss this point. Faith in our very faith does not save us. And frankly, it is pure foolishness. In other words, faith does not look to itself, but faith is always about the one in whom we trust. Faith is connected not to itself. Faith does not bend inward on ourselves, but it connects outward and it receives from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus pays such a compliment, such a remarkable compliment to the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion, his faith was so great. It was incredible. Not because of how much he had polished it up or because of how much he had or by anything he had done, but because he simply trusted Jesus. Indeed, what made the faith of the Roman centurion so great was that he looked to and he trusted Jesus to do what he could not do. The centurion, he looked to Jesus and said, "Only speak a word, Lord Jesus, and my servant will be healed." That is faith, my friends. That is faith in Jesus, not faith in itself. You see, having faith in yourself or in the strength of your faith, it will not save you. That is misplaced faith, which really is not faith at all. So today, I must ask you, where is your faith placed? Where is your faith? Is your faith in having your name on the church books? Is your faith in your regular church attendance? Is your faith in how faithful you feel? Is your faith in how good you supposedly love others? Is your faith in how accepting and tolerant you are of others? Is your faith trusting in how much you read the Bible, how religiously you live, or worse yet, how much faith you have? My friends, if your faith trusts in itself or in anything, I repeat, in anything or anyone other than the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, then that faith is no faith at all, but only a dream of self-importance. Does this sound a little harsh? Maybe it is. I agree, maybe it is. But it is what Jesus said to the crowd after praising the centurion. Jesus said this in our gospel reading, "But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, the sons of the kingdom are the people of Israel and any others who live by the same air that we have just explained. Their faith was not in Jesus as the Savior or in God as the one who would save them, but rather their faith was in their faithfulness. Their faith was in having their name listed at the synagogue books. Their faith was in how religiously they lived and how much faith they had compared to everyone else who they put underneath their thumb. Their faith was everywhere except in Jesus. And the same happens today. You see, true saving faith trusts not in itself. Faith does not look to ourselves. faith does not look inward, but it looks outward to Jesus. It looks to his suffering and his death and his resurrection. Dear friends, do not let the devil lead you to think about faith as being an object that we need to wrestle from God or something we need to conjure up out of the depths of our own spiritual abilities. Furthermore, worrying about how much or how little faith you have will distract you from the one who gives faith and the one who strengthens faith. You see, you who have ears, hear this. Faith, yes, faith, it comes from hearing the word and hearing through the word of Christ. That means that faith is a gift to you. It is something that you are given when the Holy Spirit called you by the gospel and enlightened you with his gifts. Faith is given to you in your baptisms. It is given to you through the word of God. It is given and strengthened in you when you receive the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in communion. Faith is something that is created in you, and it is strengthened in you through the Lord's word and sacraments. And this faith, it continually receives and it longs for the Lord Jesus Christ and his gifts. Mark this. You and I can do nothing on our own strength. We can do nothing. We can do nothing to strengthen our faith. But God, the Holy Spirit, he strengthens your faith every time the Lord's word and sacraments are given to you, placed in your hands, placed in your mouth, placed in your ears. You are baptized into Jesus, into his death, so that you might be raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. Faith is created. In the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I now forgive you of all of your sins. Faith given. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, given into death for you. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. That is faith strengthened. So today, as God's people, we receive the Lord and his gifts given to us. And as we receive like children with open hands, as we receive, our faith is not only sustained, but it is strengthened again and again and again as we all live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org. Or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.